two of the songs we sang, and I just go right on through to the end, you know, with good things in the tape pile. Jason, do you have a special force?
My will, thine for. Isn't that something that a king would die for you and me? A king would die for you and me. I don't know any kings out there, and not even throughout all of history, that would be willing to do that. And yet we're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords doing that for you and me. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting at verse 19 now tonight. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what it says in the verse prior to that. And that's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And that was given to us way back in Jeremiah's day in the Old Testament. It talked about this New Testament that was going to come. Folks, I am going to show you the New Testament in my Bible. You can kind of look up here. All right, I get to Matthew chapter 1. There's Malachi. That's the end of the Old Testament. Look how little the New Testament is. Of course, I got some concordance and proper names and stuff like that in there in the back. And look at how big the Old Testament is. The Old is not as good as the new, all right? The old prepares us for the coming Lord Jesus Christ. But this New Testament is all about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying for you and me. And I'm glad we got the New Testament. I'm glad we still don't just have the Old Testament. I'm not saying the old's bad, it's great. There's beautiful pictures of Jesus in there. But I'm glad for the new covenant, the new testament. As Jesus said when he had the Last Supper with his disciples, he gave them that cup. He said, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, here in Hebrews chapter 10, the whole book of Hebrews is all about how Jesus is better than the old covenant, better than the Old Testament priests, better than the Old Testament sacrifices, better than the Old Testament tabernacle. He is everything better than the Old Testament. But now here we have verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Here now the unsaved, professing Hebrew or Jew, is exhorted to place his faith in the high priest, not Aaron's sons, but in the high priest, namely Jesus Christ of the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews is saying this at this point because he has already shown us that Jesus is better than Aaron and the priests of the Old Testament because he ever lives, because he has better blood to offer, because he has a better sacrifice to offer, which is himself. So having said all those things, how that Jesus is so much better and that he only has to offer one sacrifice as opposed to their many sacrifices, he says to you and me, and I believe to the early Jewish population who would be reading this book of Hebrews, notice the name Hebrews because it's primarily for the Jews, for them to see that this Jesus of Nazareth is so much better than the Old Testament priest, and you ought to put your faith and trust in him and trust him for your own personal salvation and access to heaven. Look at that verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Enter into the holiest refers to the Old Testament temple, where they had a portion of the temple dedicated to where God would meet with man there in that squared off cubicle place called the Holy of Holies. It's there where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. It's there where the mercy seat was, where the priest once a year on the Day of Atonement would come in there and sprinkle the blood on that mercy seat. It was there where the cherubim looked down upon that mercy seat to make sure the blood was really put there. And it was there in that Holy of Holies where God in his very presence, and he would make known his presence because the glory would fill the Holy of Holies and spill out into the rest of the holy place and out into the courtyard, so that the priests, when that happened, couldn't even go into the building because the glory of the Lord was there. Apparently God didn't always show it that way, but in that Holy of Holies is where he said to them, I will meet you there. Now here we see something even better than that, in that everyone, the brethren, those who are brothers and sisters in the Lord, having put their faith and trust in him, can have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now in the Old Testament, only one went in there, the high priest, once a year. And not without the blood of animals. And not without the censer in front of him, which had that incense coming up so that he would not look directly under the glory of the Lord and be struck dead. Here we're being told here in verse 19, we can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus refers to the Day of Atonement, when that high priest in the Old Testament would go into that Holy of Holies and there sprinkle, and it's very detailed, the Bible says, first for his own sins. Then he'd come out, go through the whole thing again, and go on in there with blood again for the people, for the nation of Israel. This priest doesn't have to go in there first for his own sin, for he has no sin. That's already been stated in Hebrews. So that's why he's not saying it again. He's just saying, look, we now have access right into the very Holy of Holies. You and I who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we do not have to fear being struck dead as we go into the very presence of the Lord. And you know, every time you as a believer in Jesus Christ bow your head, close your eyes, and you start talking to the Lord in what we refer to as prayer, do you know you are right in the very presence of God? And when we do pray, we really need to realize how great a privilege this is. And we need to acknowledge when we go into that time of prayer that we're actually in the presence of God. We need to acknowledge, and Father, the only reason I'm able to be here is because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so on the way out, when you're done praying, you know what I mean by that, you know. When you're done praying and you're on your way out, because you got to live the day, you got to go to work or whatever you got to do, before you leave the presence of the Lord, it's always a good thing to say, in Jesus' name we pray. Because that's the only reason you have access to the Father, because of what Jesus Christ did. And it's not a fearsome thing. We're to go boldly. That's what it says there, brethren. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, sometimes you come up to things in your life where you know, I really need to spend time talking to the Lord. By the way, don't always wait for those times to talk to the Lord. Learn to talk to him even when the good times are there, all right? Learn to talk to the Lord all the time. And by the way, you don't always have to be in that setting a prayer like I said, you know, bow your head, close your eyes. You can talk to the Lord with your eyes wide open, all right? Especially when you're driving, okay? Make sure you don't close your eyes when you're praying, when you're behind the wheel, all right? But you can go right into the presence of the Lord and go boldly in there. Not wondering, oh, is he going to strike me dead if I go in? No, no. And why not? Because you have the blood of Jesus as you go into that presence of the Lord. Now, I'm talking in a spiritual way, you know. You have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this. Literally, the blood of Jesus Christ is in heaven right now. And it ever cleanses us from our sins so that we can stay in fellowship with the Lord. But you can have boldness as you go in there acknowledging to the Father, I'm here only because of what your Son accomplished for me at the old rugged cross. And like Jason sang here tonight, just think that a king would even die for me and give his blood for me. He did. And so now I can have boldness and enter into the holiest. You know, that's something the Jews back in that day when the temple was still standing in Jerusalem. By the way, keep in mind, after Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again and ascended back to heaven, the temple was still there. The priests were still doing all their sacrifices and everything. And here's someone coming along writing a letter called Hebrews saying, brethren, we can have boldness to enter into the holiest of all. What? Only the high priest can do it. No, you can, because you have a better high priest than that priest down there in the temple. In 70 AD, that temple was destroyed, and there is no temple there now. But I'll tell you what, you still can have access into the Holy of Holies through the Son of God, the Son of David, and also the one who is after the order of Melchizedek. Remember? Okay? Melchizedek. Who's that? Well, you got to go back and read that. We already read through that. Our Savior Jesus Christ is all you need. All you need. Now, verse 20. Look at what it says here. Verse 20. By a new and living way. Not the old and dead way. Okay? What's the old way? Old Testament. What's the dead way? The Old Testament. I mean, if you went into that Holy of Holies without the blood of an animal and without the right sacrifice, you were struck dead. You were struck dead. Now, there's nothing in the Old Testament scriptures about this, but I understand that they would tie a rope to the high priest's foot in case he went in there and, you know, didn't make it. They pull them back out, I guess. Now, I don't really know if that's accurate or not, but I've heard that. But, you know, you just take it for what it's worth. But I think you get the idea that you can't go into the Holy of Holies in the old way without fear of death. And not only that, you had to take the blood of a dead animal in there. Folks, I'm taking the blood of a risen Savior with me when I go into the presence of the Lord and talk to him in prayer. I'm taking the living Savior's blood in there. Now, how could that be? He died. Well, because he rose up from the grave. He conquered death. It's a New Testament, and a living, resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power upon and the authority upon which I go into the very presence of the Lord. Else I would not have any boldness or any right to even come in to the presence of the Lord. See, a new and living way in contrast to the old way. New meaning freshly slain. Old, in the Old Testament, it's an old dead animal. In a living way, Old Testament was a dead road. No life there. No one ever got to heaven by keeping the Old Testament legal requirements. No one. You know why? Because nobody could keep it. We're sinners. So no one got to heaven the old way. But you can get to heaven the new way and the living way. And this will not only because Jesus is alive, but now you're alive. You have everlasting life, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Okay, you got it. You got life. In the Old Testament, you just had to hope that the priest did a satisfactory sacrifice and atonement for you. In the New Testament, you don't have to just hope. You can have blessed assurance. And can you see that in verse 22? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Wow. And then back up there to verse 20, by a new living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. You know, there's no doubt what he's talking about here. And these Jews know exactly what he's talking about here. He's talking about the Holy of Holies. He's talking about blood that allows you to boldly go in there. Now he's talking about a veil that you can go through. Wait a minute, that's the veil down there at the temple. I faintly remember, I'm kind of pretending I'm back there at that time, all right? And I'm not someone yet who's trusted Jesus. I would say, I faintly remember that when that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross, they say that the veil, and I'm just saying that, but we know the Bible says this happened. They say that that veil was rent right down the middle. And I understand they went in there and sewed it back up. Oh, you know what? God did that. And isn't it interesting? It says from the top down. I believe it was God's hand taking a hold of that veil and ripping it apart and saying, the way into the presence of the Lord is open. Whosoever will may come. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. He had already died on the cross. And that veil was rent in twain. Yeah, they probably sewed it back up. You know, religion will always keep you from heaven. So religion won't help you get to heaven. You say, oh, you're a preacher. Why would you say that? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't have religion. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that allows me to have boldness to enter right into the Holy of Holies by the blood of a better sacrifice and a better priest than the Old Testament ever had. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The reference is to that which bars the access to God. You know what? When you're born into this world, you're born a sinner. And you, in that condition, cannot approach unto a holy God. A veil is between you and God. And until you come to that one who can open that veil for you, you're not going to enter into the presence of God. You need the body, the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took your place on the cross, paid for all your sins, and basically opened the way for you to enter in. And that veil is Jesus Christ, his body, his flesh, that died on the cross for your sin and mine. And when it says, which is his, that is to say, his flesh, that's to tell you, it's not some cosmic thing we're talking about here. It's not some dreamy, nebulous salvation story. It's a real down-to-earth person who came from heaven, took upon himself the form of a man, just like you and me, yet without sin. And in his body, he paid for my sin. And you know what? If I don't ever trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am going to die a death for my sin and be lost forever in hell. But the way to the presence of God has been made wide open. Come on in and have boldness. Through faith in the one who provided the way for you. When Jesus died, the veil was rent, and it's still rent. I don't care if men sewed that back up or not. The way into the presence of the Lord is still there for all who will come. Then verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God refers to the priestly duties in the Old Testament. You know, the people of Israel would daily bring their sacrifices to the tabernacle in Moses' day, up until Solomon built the temple. And then after the temple was there, daily the sinners of Israel would bring their sacrifices to the tabernacle and present the sacrifices to the priest. And the priest would slay the animal, pour out the blood on the altar there, and burn the sacrifice up for a sweet savor to God. Their priest did all that for them. Here in verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God. Jesus is so much better. He's an high priest. And he allows you to come right into the very presence of God. That's a great high priest. You know, the priests of the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement didn't say, well, how many of you would like to go on in with me? Any volunteers? Oh, we can't go in there. Only you can go in there. We have an high priest over the house of God that allows us entrance right in. And bold entrance right on in. That's great, folks. Having an high priest over the house of God. Verse 22. Now, because you have this high priest, verse 22, let us draw near. Drawing near refers to how the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies on behalf of all the nation of Israel. It was just once a year that he could draw near unto the God of Israel. And the Holy of Holies was off limits, except for that one time a year in which the priest representing all the people would go on in there with the blood of an animal and draw near unto God. I wonder, over the years, it was centuries, you know, that they had this tabernacle and temple worship going on. I wonder if the priests ever had anything to say, you know. How was it in there? How'd it go this year? Well, I don't know. I want to make sure I didn't look at anything. I had that incense there and I sprinkled the blood where it's supposed to. Yeah, but did you see God? You know, did he say anything to you? We know he's there. Did he say anything? No, no. Well, you were near, weren't you? Yes, I drew near. I'm just making that all up, but I just wonder what it must have been like. But only one man could go in there. And here we're being told, all of us, let us draw near. Draw near with a true heart. True heart means with a sincere heart, sincerity, sincerity. Some of the Hebrews did not have this. They couldn't draw near to God. They could only draw near through their priest that would go in for them. And they probably stood outside, well, I hope he's okay. I hope he did the right thing in there. Did anybody see him take blood in there? Yeah, I did. Okay, all right. Yeah. We don't have to worry about this. With a true heart in full assurance of faith. Don't we have some beautiful songs? You know, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. How many know that song? Raise your hand. You know that song. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. How about the song? Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. We love to sing those songs, don't we? Because we are so full of assurance that what he's done is sufficient. By the way, there is no one else. Who else are you going to trust in? Who would be better than Jesus? Muhammad? No. Sorry. He's not good enough. The Pope? I mean, people, they are hoping that the Pope is good enough to get them all in. And I understand yesterday he just sainted two Palestinians, made saints out of them. Yeah, the Pope can't make anybody a saint. I don't care what you believe about it. I'm just going to tell you right now, that man is a man just like you and me. And I don't think God is interested in what he has to say one bit about sainting people to get them into heaven. But he is interested in people who have trusted his Son, Jesus Christ. That he's very interested in. And let us draw near with true heart of full assurance of faith. See, faith brings assurance. When we take God at his word by faith, we then and only then can claim his promises. Those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you sit here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. Oh yeah, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, you know, back when, whenever it was you got saved." Do you realize what your belief rests upon? Your belief rests upon whether or not this is true or not. This right here, this book. This book. This book tells you all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells you of the glories of Christ and how wonderful he is and how perfect his salvation is. Gives you the history, how he came and died and walked among us. Then he died on the cross and he was buried, rose again. His followers saw him and they gave witness. Many of them died a martyr's death for the cause. And they've been doing it ever since. And you know why? Because they believe the word about him. With full assurance of faith. Faith taking hold of God's word. We then and only then can claim his promises. And I'm going to say this. It sounds like, well, you're just saying everything's based upon that book. I believe that. I believe that's the fact of the matter. But you know what else? I've proved it o'er and o'er in my life and in my heart and in my mind. He's proved himself over and over to me that what he says he will do, he's done for me. He has changed my life. Many of you sit here tonight, your lives have been changed from what you were before Christ to something brand new after Christ. And you know it. And you just know it. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hearts sprinkled. Now, when Moses dedicated the tabernacle, he took the blood of animals and with hyssop, it's a branch, a certain kind of a plant branch, he dipped that into that blood. And he was told, "I want you to consecrate this whole tabernacle for me, Moses." And he goes through it, he's splashing blood all over the place. He even splashed the blood on the high priest's pure white linen garments. Well, in Jesus Christ, my heart's been sprinkled clean. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Look back to chapter 10, verse 2. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin or sins." You know, in the Old Testament, they'd bring a sacrifice, take care of their sins, but 2 weeks later, they have to bring another one. Another offering. Take care of that sin. 2 weeks later, another one. Yeah, they constantly had a conscience of sins in Christ Jesus. Look up there at verse 17 of chapter 10. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Amen. I don't have to worry about sins anymore. They've been paid for, taken care of in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's a good way. Hearts sprinkled. as it says there, hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Pure water. Now, that's one of the things they would have to do. They would wash the sacrifices, the bodies of the various sacrifices, clean them, cleanse them. Our bodies have been washed with the pure water of the Word of God, and we are clean before the Lord. That's what he's saying. You know, when they saw those things, hearts sprinkled, bodies washed, they thought of the Old Testament and what the priests had to do. And you're saying that my heart can be sprinkled in a way that I'll no longer have a conscience for sins and would be worried about my future because of sins? Yes. You mean I'm washed in such a way before God that I'm clean and able to approach unto Him? Yes. And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that. Just one verse for you. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. There's several verses that I have here. Ephesians 5:26, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and ye are washed. Remember that one? You are washed. But how about this one? Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I've been washed. Washed in the blood. And even the Word of God itself washes us too. And makes us clean. So that we can have fellowship and draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And next week we'll carry on with verse 23. Talking about holding fast the profession. And then how about down there to verse 26. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Wow. Well, if this Jesus doesn't work out for me, I'll go back to the temple worship. Oh, I know. I've already told you and taught you, Hebrews says, that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But if we have one who's perfect and without sin and ever lives to make intercession for us, there is a way to have salvation. And if you reject that only answer, there is no more sacrifice for sin. You see, the reason why I keep pointing that out is that's a passage that those who teach that a Christian can be saved one day and then be lost the next. I don't believe in that. I believe once you're saved, the blood of Christ keeps you saved for all eternity. Because His death on the cross is sufficient. Once for all. And when He sees that blood, God is satisfied. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 139. By way of invitation here, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted this Jesus as your personal Savior, we'd like to extend the invitation to you to trust the Lord as your Savior. Let him save your lost soul. Only He can do that. He died for your sins. Let Him save you. He's a wonderful Savior. If you're listening to me on the internet and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you right now, while you hear us sing, "When I See the Blood," number 139 in your hymn book, why not trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash your sins away and make you a child of God and be able to draw near unto Him with full assurance of faith. Let's stand as we sing. If you need help about getting saved, just step out and meet me down here at the front. We'll help you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for that precious royal blood, Lord, that was shed on Calvary's cross for us, Lord.
Yes.
Father, it is in heaven now, Lord God, cleansing us day and night as believers, Lord. And Father, we willfully not want to sin, but we still will do, Lord, in us. We confess, Lord, we will be cleansed once again by that precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, for all those out there who have not found that precious blood to save them for eternity, I pray that they would find the blood of Jesus and be saved.
Amen.
For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.